Yeah, I want to just give you a little bit of an update on what's happening in the ministry, what I've been doing. And then also I want to just share a word I felt I had for the church. So it's not so much a preach as more of a sharing, but we'll see. Yeah. So for those who don't know, I, for 12 years now, I've been in Germany. In a place. Sorry.
How's the German coming on?
German's coming on slowly. been ministering in a house of prayer there in a place called Herrnhut. And Herrnhut has a famous revival history. A lot of people don't know about it, but there's a lot of people who do know about it. And we get a lot of visitors from all over the world because they're interested in the prayer and missions history in Herrnhut. So they come to visit us. And we have a role, if you like, to kind of guard that well that the Lord has given us. So there's this place, there's this town that has such a rich history, and we want to see the things that happened in the history spring up again. And we are seeing them spring up again. We're seeing amazing things happen, and especially in this last year. I was here in August last year just saying that we'd seen such amazing breakthrough in the year in so many different ways, just with finances and what we're building there, with the leadership, with decisions, with what's happening on the mission field, so many different things just breaking through. And we've got a lot of testimonies of that. I can tell you more about that if you want to know, and also if you want to have a little leaflet about our ministry, then I can give you that. After a lot of the breakthrough in summer last year, I'll just explain again the basic vision of the house. So the basic vision of the house of prayer is to be a place where people encounter the Lord. And we see that in four different ways. So the first way is that we want the house to be an altar of worship. That's the first and foremost. We're first and foremost there to minister to the Lord. He's who we're looking at. He's who we're ministering to. He's the one who is most important. So we're cultivating this lifestyle of worship. We have about 40 to 50 hours of prayer and worship every week, and we want to build that up till we're going 24/7. Not just because, hey, that's a nice goal to have, but because we believe that when we worship the Lord, the atmosphere changes. And then when we worship the Lord, we start to get hold of his heart and start to pray prayers that are in line with his heart, and then we see transformation around us. So we see it as a really important goal to have, and it's what we've been called to in that place. So we're working up to 24/7. To give you a heads up, in 2022, it is the 300-year anniversary of the founding of Herrnhut. So there will be all sorts of things going on in the town that year. But what we as a ministry felt that we wanted to do was set a goal now to go 24/7 that year. And we can't do that on our own because we're tiny. I mean, Herrnhut's like 2,000 people. It's not going to happen on our own. But we want to invite the nations. And we would love a team from OCF to come for a few days and just be there worshiping and praying in the house. And of course, I know it's complicated with school holidays and these sorts of things, but I'm putting it in your head now. Find a few days to come and just join us in that goal. And we don't want to set the goal as an idol, like if we don't do this, you know, it's terrible. But if we set the goal, then we know we'll for sure do more than we would have done if we don't set the goal. And we're excited to see the nations just come and join in to see his name glorified in that place. So yeah, altar of worship. Second thing is a well of encounter. We believe that when the atmosphere of the Lord is there in his presence, then people are healed, people are transformed, they get direction. And so we want our house to be a place where people come in and draw from this well of his presence and receive blessing. And we see that over and over again. We've seen ministries birthed through people being in our prayer room. We've seen people healed. We've seen people get direction on their life. We've seen people just understand at a deeper level the love of the Lord. And all these things are what happens when the Lord is in the room. So We want to be a well of encounter. We want to be a gathering place for the nations, so the believers would come and stand together and say, this is what we want to pray out. This is what we want to see. This is the kingdom. And so we want to be that place where people can gather, be encouraged, and pray that his kingdom will come. And then the fourth thing is we want to be a training center. And that's more one of my parts of my role is training and discipleship. So we have regular internships where young people come, just a few. We usually have about 5 or 6 who come at the same time. And we teach and train them to be these people who are giving their lives to the Lord, who are cultivating a lifestyle of worship, and who are wanting to see the kingdom come wherever the Lord then takes them. And so in March, in 2 weeks, we welcome 5, maybe 6 people, 2 Brazilians, 1 girl from South Korea. You can pray for her because at the moment she's not sure she can come because of the coronavirus. So you can pray that she is able to come. So 2 Brazilians, 1 from South Korea, 1 German, 1 Czech girl, and maybe someone from England will be joining us for a 3 months internship in the house. So yeah, so that's the vision of the house, and I will gladly talk to you more about it if you're interested. But since summer last year, my role has changed quite a lot. Before that, I was doing a lot of leadership and administrative leadership in the house, developing strategy, working with the leaders there on where we're going and different things like that. And then after summer, my role has shifted into what I can only sort of describe as a more of an ambassadorial role. So there was this recognition from the elders that the Lord has given us this message on our leaflet. There's this logo of a seed, and this is called the hidden seed. And the message of it is that inside of all of us, there's kingdom seeds that need to spring to life. And we believe that from the history, that history needs to rebirth. but we also believe in different parts of the world, there's things that need to spring to life, kingdom things that need to spring to life in our lives and in nations. And we obviously are a place where people come and see those kingdom seeds spring up, but we believe we also need to go and take that message to the nation. So my role has shifted so that I will go to different places for 3 main reasons. One is to proclaim the message as a prophetic message of the seeds springing up. Secondly, to visit the missionaries that we support, see them where they actually are, come alongside them, encourage them. And then thirdly is also to speak out our vision as a house and see if there's people who want to partner with us in what we're doing. So they're the main reasons. It's funny for me because I don't love to travel, but the Lord seemed to think that was a good idea. So we've been seeking him on where to go. And in January, I've been in England since the 9th of January. And in January, I was visiting all sorts of places in England as the Lord had directed. And there were some amazing times. I was down in London, at one point, gathering with different people who work in different places in London. So some from the hotel industry, some from, say, Google and Facebook, and some from education, some from NHS. Christians from those places gathering together in the Google building in the center of London, doing praise and worship. And it was just like, wow, this is really amazing just to see them gathering and really just seeking the Lord for how can I build kingdom in my workplace, and getting that recognition that we can be a light in the workplace. And that's one of the things that Lord's been really impressing upon my heart is that we as a house, in Jesus' house, we're called to frontier missions. That means the hard-to-reach places. And that's geographical. So, for instance, we've got missionaries that we support in Iraq and Iran. And these people know that they need prayer. And as a house of prayer, We're called to stand with them in what they're doing as this guard around them. And they really know that the power of prayer, and they really know they need prayer, because for them, can physically be a life or death situation. They can physically be in trouble for what they're doing, for sharing the gospel. So they know very clearly that they need prayer. But Frontier Missions isn't just geographical. Frontier Missions is anywhere where the gospel needs to break in. And so Frontier Missions can, for instance, be the tech industry or media or the arts, because we know it's so full of darkness that the gospel needs to break in. And the people who are on the front line there need support. They need people to pray with them and to have the mind shift that they are there to bring kingdom. And what the difficulty is, because their life, their physical life, is not in danger, people don't recognize the deep need for prayer. But actually, we know that our spiritual life is much more important than our physical life. And so we need to have that mind shift in our heads, that we have to be treating the support of people who are working in their jobs as a life and death situation. Every time you go to work, you are entering into a battle of light and darkness. And what the enemy's plan is just to make you think there's nothing there, just to be numb to it, just to be asleep, and just to be carrying on doing your day-to-day. But actually, the Lord wants us to be awakened to see that this is a life and death situation every day, spiritually. And that as a house of prayer, we need to stand, and we have we need to stand with them in prayer. And so I'm seeing so many doors open to work with people who are in the tech industry. And it's amazing. I mean, that would never have been my thing, but we've got this girl that we work with in California who's in Facebook, and she's gathering, I think I might have said it last time, I think she's now got 1,600 believers who are working in Facebook, who she's gathering together to pray. Wow. And they can't always physically come together, but hey, they have technology, so they're meeting online to pray, to see the kingdom come in Facebook. And what's super exciting is that they want to, as kingdom believers, learn how to use the technology for kingdom purposes. So they're thinking, how can we use technology like Facebook or Google or things like that? How can we use this technology to help the underground church? Or how can we use this technology to fight against human trafficking? And we're seeing this swell of understanding that when believers come together and say, Lord, you know, he knows the answers. He's there with a whole heaven full of answers for the problems that we have on earth. But most of the time, we're just not asking. We're just not got the mind shift that he can give us those answers and we can see transformation. So one exciting thing that we're thinking about doing is gathering some people from the tech industry in Hernhut to come together in worship and prayer in the presence of the Lord, and then to ask a question like that: Lord, how can we use technology to fight against human trafficking? And believing that he will come and give them very, very, very clear answers. I've just been reading a book by Gordon Hickson, Rachel Hickson's husband, and Rachel Hickson is very known for her prophetic gifting and her desire to see the heart of the Father really break through. And in the book, Gordon talks about how Rachel, she was trained in medical science. And one time, this was years and years ago, in their department, they were working on something to do with pregnancy testing. And in their department, they were struggling with the answers for it. This is years and years ago. They couldn't figure out how to do what they needed to do. And the Lord said to Rachel, if you seek me, I'll give you the answer. And so she went to her boss and said, can I take a few days off to do research? She called it. And he's like, yeah, sure. So she went off and she just basically fasted and prayed for 3 days and asked the Lord for the answer to this problem that they had in work, and he gave it to them. And she went back to her boss and said the answer. And first of all, he was like, that's never going to work. But then they looked into it, and it totally worked. And whatever it is, it's what now hospitals all over the world use to do with pregnancy testing. And it's like, we can get these answers to the challenges that we're facing. And so, yeah, that's become part of my role, is this going out and drawing in people and ministering to our missionaries we'll gladly, as I said, talk to you about more things to do with that if you're interested. But just to encourage you, amazing things are happening in the world. Amazing things are happening in the world. And these places that we can sometimes see as the most darkest places, like the media or things that are happening in government. We can be so depressed about what's happening in government. But the Lord is raising up a company of kingdom people who are beginning to see, hey, I'm called to rule and reign. Here. I'm called under God's Spirit and by His will to rule and reign. And that's happening in government, that's happening in media, it's happening all over. And just as the darkness is getting darker, the light is getting brighter. And it says in Isaiah that of the advancement of His government and of peace, there will be no end. And often we think things are getting worse and worse, but there is this advancement of God's kingdom, of His government and of His peace, and there will be no end to that. It will continue to advance, and that is the promise we can hold on to. Okay, so I had this word, this picture for the church. I hope I can explain it well. It's a little bit rough. Let's get my notes here. It actually links quite well with what Sam said at the beginning. Why are you here? I want to talk about why you're here. And I just want to take us right back to Genesis 2:15. It says, Genesis 2:15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. A better translation would be to tend and to keep. And I want to talk to you today about those two things, tending and keeping, which I'm going to call guarding and giving. Because the tending is more this cultivating thing, this more, developing the garden. And the keeping is more a guarding, actually. It's a keeping watch over. So we're called to keep watch over the garden, and we're called to cultivate the garden. And I want you to think about the gardens in your life. So we're a little bit like Russian dolls. So we're a garden, and then our family is a garden, and then the church is the garden, and then the world is the garden. So it's a garden within a garden within a garden within a garden. And we have responsibilities that the Lord has called us to in each of those gardens, to tend and to keep, to guard and to give. And we tend to know that responsibility, or we focus a lot, especially as new believers, on that responsibility at an individual level. So I'm responsible for guarding my own heart. I'm responsible for developing my own relationship with the Lord. I need to guard what I'm letting into my life. That's our first point. That's our first garden. What's happening with my heart? What's happening with my life, my walk with the Lord? Now, we can think everybody, we can draw from everybody else, but ultimately, we're responsible. The state of your own heart is nobody else's fault. It's your responsibility, and we're called to guard it, and we're called to tend it, to cultivate it, our relationship with the Lord, or how we're using our giftings, all these things. But then we're also placed in family in some way or another, and that will look different for different people. And God gives us this garden of family that we're called to guard and to cultivate. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it, and I think I might have even said this here before, but we focus, with the story of Adam and Eve, we focus a lot on that Eve had taken the apple and given it to Adam. But if Adam was operating in his role as one who was guarding his family, he would have never let that snake anywhere near his wife. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't even have been there, shouldn't have been able to talk to her, because he would have shut the door to that voice before it ever got to her. Of course, she has a responsibility too, but he has, as the priest in the family, as the father in the family, he has the role to guard and to cultivate, to guard against what is bad and to cultivate what is good. And so it is in our families. We have the responsibility to guard the relationships, to make sure the enemy's not getting in, to think about what our family is watching and listening to. What's coming into my house? Is it wholesome? Does it glorify God through the television, through music, or is it not? Or am I just kind of treating it like, oh, well, it doesn't matter? We really need to think about those things. What messages are coming through to our children? What ways are we drawing them towards God's heart and God's love? Is my house a place where the Lord wants to dwell? Am I opening the doors to him? Or would he come and be like, I don't want to dwell there because it's full of things that are not wholesome? So we have a responsibility to guard and to tend, to guard and to give of ourselves into the family. And, you know, things like relationships. A broken relationship doesn't just happen on the day where there's the big explosion. It's a lot of choices up to that point. In the same way, a big act of kindness or mercy doesn't happen out of nowhere. It happens from a lifestyle where you've cultivated mercy and kindness in your life. And those, all those little points along the way are important, both for the good to flourish and to keep the bad out. So we're called to guard and to give. Well, what the main thing I wanted to focus on this morning was our role in guarding and giving within the body of Christ. And Sam said, why are you here? And the main thing that I felt on my heart this morning is that you are so important, each of you, to be here in this community. If God has called you here, then your presence and your part, your guarding and your giving is of absolute kingdom significance. Mm-hmm. And the picture I had was of like that you've, if you imagine the garden has a wall around it and there's lots of gates in that into the garden, and each of you has been given a gate to guard. And it's important that you stay guarding that gate. And we're talking at the moment about the gate of this fellowship. And what the enemy wants to do is either make you think you're not important, so that you just kind of sit down on the ground and don't bother looking anymore, or to get you distracted, or to make you jealous over someone else's gate, because their gate looks so much more exciting than your gate. But each of you need to be guarding this fellowship. And often what happens is we think, oh, well, it's, even unintentionally, we're like, okay, Mike is guarding the gates. Mike is guarding the gates, and we're enjoying the garden. No, each of us is called to tend and to keep. So each of us called to guard the relationships in this church, guard the vision in this church, guard the ministry of this church, guard the calling of this church. And it might look different for each of you. That's what you need to find out from the Lord. But you must guard your gate, because we know what happens. If you move away from your gate, the enemy is like round the edge of this garden, like a prowling lion, it says. And he's just looking for the gap. Just the whole time he's looking for the gap, whole time. And as soon as you step out, he comes in. And this can happen in different ways. So it can happen from our own insecurity. Can it be like, well, I'm not really that important, especially if you're feeling low. If you're having a bad time, it's like, well, I'm not really important. If I don't go this week, you know, I'm tired or whatever. If I don't go this week, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, no one will notice my part. And you might not even think those things through so clearly, but that's kind of the message that's behind. And I don't say this in any way to condemn. The message is you're important, and your part is important. And sometimes we need the shift in our heads that says, actually, if I turn up or not, it makes a difference.
Yeah. Amen.
If I turn up and say to Mike, hey, it was great this morning, that makes a difference to Mike. If I turn up and give Laura a big hug, that makes a difference, doesn't it? If I turn up and just my presence, being here, and you have no idea, I mean, being a leader myself, I know how encouraging it is just to see people in the room giving of their heart. And you notice it. You notice when people are not here or don't seem to care anymore or not with you in the vision. You notice it, and it has such a strong effect. And so I want to just encourage you to be present, to come, to turn up. Of course, there's sometimes very legitimate reasons. That's fine. No condemnation. But just to encourage you, your part, your giving of yourself, your presence, your giving words of encouragement, being in the room, or giving of your gifts, your time, your service, this is all helping to guard the gates of the house. Another way the enemy likes to get in is through distraction. And he can do this in actually really clever ways. So if we have, for instance, over here, there's someone who really needs some help. It's, of course, the calling of the church to help that person. When we're in weak, we come along those who are weak. We weep with those who are weeping. We rejoice with those who are rejoicing. So when there's someone who needs help, we, of course, respond. But what the enemy often tries to do is to get everybody looking at that one thing, so they leave what they're supposed to be guarding behind. And so the ministries fall, the children's work falls, or we're not guarding the children anymore, or we're suddenly all looking at this thing, this issue or this situation. And don't hear me wrong, we do need to respond, but what we need to do at that point is those who are on the gates nearby just need to expand so they cover their gate and cover that person. And not everybody needs to turn their whole attention in this direction. Does that make some sense? Yeah. And we need to think about ways we do that as a fellowship so that we are supporting and loving and giving of ourselves, but so that we're not letting other things drop and we're not failing to stand at the gates and the ministries that the Lord has called us into. Sometimes we can also get pulled away because of things that seem very legitimate, whether it's work or family or other things. They can take our focus. And in some ways, it's right. You know, there's times and seasons where we do need to shift our focus a bit. But I think there's also what the Lord impressed upon me is that in Psalm 133, very famous psalm about when brothers dwell in unity, then the blessing flows. And I think sometimes we can be so afraid of things in our own families falling apart, or things in our work situations, or personal problems that we have going wrong, that we pour all our focus in that direction, when actually the Lord says, when you come together in unity, then a blessing flows down even to those areas. Yeah. The blessing flows into work. The blessing flows into family. The blessing flows into our individual walk with the Lord. And it is part of the enemy's tactic to just say, well, just go over here for a bit and focus on this, and then you find out that you've been weeks and months without connecting with the body of Christ. And actually that, instead of that fueling your family, that's actually going to pull blessing away. It's going to drain your family. And so I want to encourage you to think about what that looks like for you to give yourself to guarding the house, to being present, to seeing that your part is important, and you will, and trusting the Lord that then you will see his blessing flowing into your family, and he will guard it, and he will pour in what you need, and he will bring breakthrough into those areas that could have so easily just turned your attention. In the same way, so that's the guarding, in the same way the giving. It's not a few people's job to give into the church so the whole thing functions. We are called a royal priesthood. The whole body of believers is called to give of their gifts, give of their time, give of their talents in order to see the kingdom come. And that's in the church, and that's out into the world, into the nations, into the region. And your part, what you have been given as a gifting, is so significant. And no one else can do that bit. No one else can do what you've been called to do. And so I want to encourage you to value whatever it is that the Lord has put on your heart. And in the same way that we can't all guard or shouldn't all guard the same gate, we also shouldn't all have the same gifting, and we don't all need to be involved in the same ministry. Not everybody needs to do the same thing. It's a body. We have different roles. We have different giftings. So just encourage you to ask the Lord, what is my part in this body so that the whole thing functions? And how can I do that in a way that's honoring, that's really giving of myself? Because there is ground that the Lord wants you to take. You know, this church has such a high calling to see the kingdom come within and outside. There's land to be taken, there's lives to be transformed, there's miracles to happen. And it won't just happen because the leaders are doing what they're called to do. It will happen when we all come into unity and move towards the vision that's been placed on the heart of this church. And in the same way, you don't have to have the same vision as the church down the road, or what this group does, or what that giant ministry does over there. You need to know, as a body of believers, what is your territory, what is your frontier mission, what is your calling, what is your a personality in a way, what is your mandate for this season and for the seasons ahead. Your position on the gates is important. Your part in the body is important, and your presence is important. And that can be about a physical thing. So, of course, it can be about turning up, literally being present, being involved in people's lives, being involved in what the leaders are saying is the calling for the season. But it, most importantly, is what's going on in your heart. I mean, you can turn up but not be connected. And so the important thing is, are you in? Are you guarding and are you giving from the place of your heart? What is the state of your heart? And the enemy's plan is to always to isolate, to make you indifferent or asleep, to make you feel insignificant or not worth it. But the Lord is speaking today to say, you are important. Your part is important. Your position is important, and your presence is important. And it's only when we get hold of that and start walking in the fullness of that real transformation happens. And if I can say anything to you today, it's just to ask the Lord for deeper revelation of who he's created you to be in the corporate sense, not just an individual sense. In the West, we're very much focused on the us and God, our individual walk, our individual. But there's power in the corporate that comes when we recognize what can happen as a body of believers, seek the Lord together, pray together, press in for someone's breakthrough together, stand with each other, minister with each other. There's a power that happens that is not there when it's just this vertical. And so I want to encourage you to think corporate. It's really encouraging for me hearing Mike talk about the corporate way of life that you're looking at, not just the individual, my walk with the Lord, but the corporate way of life. Because, like I said before, we make all these individual decisions towards mercy. Well, that's what the way of life is creating these patterns in our life that will set us up for the moments of great breakthrough and keep us protected from the moments of great trial, or help us to walk through those moments of great trial. So I want to just encourage you to think corporate and ask the Lord, what is my part in guarding this body, and what is my part in giving into the work of this body? Amen.